My name is John Erling, and today's date is November 14, 2017. Bob, would you state your full name, please?
Robert Arthur Borlos.
Your date of birth?
3/31/32, March 31st, 1932.
And where are we recording this interview?
At my home in Bethany, Oklahoma.
Joining us today is your wife, Diane, to keep us on the straight and narrow. Diane, you think you can do that?
Sure, no problem.
When did you two meet?
In 1949 in Detroit, Michigan, at a friend's house.
Okay, we will talk about that. Bob, your father's name?
Edward Borlos. He had no middle name.
Where did he grow up?
In England, Cornwall, England.
Cornwall, England.
Uh-huh.
How did he come to the United States?
By boat. Came over in about 1920, I think.
Did he come through Ellis Island?
Yes, he did.
Where did he settle then after he came through Ellis Island?
They went to New Jersey. He and his brother came over, and they had an epidemic in New Jersey, and his brother died. And he came to northern Michigan, the Upper Peninsula, to work in the mines up there.
So it was work in the mines that brought him to Michigan?
In the copper mines up there. He had worked in the mines in Red Roof, Cornwall, the tin mines.
So he followed his profession from England. What was his personality like?
He was a very stern person. He took command. He was not a huggable type of fella for be a father. We had five boys in the family and two girls, and I worked for my father for a period of time, but he was always my boss. But he was there whenever you needed anything. He was the most dependable person you ever want to know.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had four brothers and two sisters. I had an older brother and two younger brothers, and an older sister and a younger sister than me.
So you're in the middle?
Yes.
Your mother's name?
Mary Louise, and her maiden name was Moquin.
What was her background? Where did she come from?
She came from Bay City, Michigan.
So the two met in Michigan?
Yep.
Yes.
Obviously. And what was your mother like, her personality?
She was a huggable. My mother was a very nice person, took good care of us kids. Was always there if you ever needed her.
Your father had to earn quite an income because he had seven children.
Yes. Father hauled ice and coal during the Second World War. I remember him. He worked for Pittman and Dean for a while, and he delivered coal right to your residence. He would deliver it by a wheelbarrow to some addresses, and he also had a conveyor to put it down on other ones where he could use it. And he'd bring ice right into the house and put it in the refrigerators. And he did it at our own home there for a period of time.
Everybody enjoyed hearing the icemen coming in the summertime, didn't they?
And the end of the Second World War put him out of business because they started building refrigerators and then supplying it to homes.
What did he do then?
He worked for an automotive repair and gasoline station, and he went to work for a man called Art Conley. He worked for him for a long time and then bought his own gas station and ran it.
Did you work for him in that gas station?
I worked with my dad at the station with the Conleys. We worked together, and my older brother also worked with my dad at the gas station, and then Dad bought a gas station of his own. Then I was in the military, and when I got out of the military, I worked for him for a period of time.
What about your grandparents? Do you have any memory of them?
On my dad's side, no. But on my mother's side, yes. I remember my grandfather and my grandmother. The family used to go over to their house for Christmas and for stuff like that. They had a cottage at Stony Point in Michigan. In the summer, we would go there, and sometimes the whole family would stay there by ourselves. We would have a reunion or a get-together every year with the whole family at this cottage.
So it's obvious, and you only knew your maternal grandmother because she grew up in the United States.
That's true.
And she probably grew up in Michigan.
No, I don't believe so.
They grew up in Canada. They were French-Canadian.
French-Canadian.
Okay. Did they speak English? Only speak French? Or?
It was kind of a little bit of both.
You remember hearing both?
Oh, yes, but I wasn't around them very often. We'd see them a little bit in the summer, and we always saw them around Christmas time. My grandmother was a very huggable person. She would grasp you and give you a big hug. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of grandchildren, and the family was large, her family itself.
So do you have pleasant memories, then, of Christmas and large gatherings at Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I did. It was one of those times when there was a lot of people around, and I'm not much on being around a lot of people. I've been there all my life doing that, but I'm not always comfortable in that.
You were even that way when you were a young person.
That's correct.
Would you describe yourself as a shy youth?
I would, yes. I would very much, yes.
Was that a handicap for you, being shy?
I felt at times it was. I'm not too open right today. I don't feel comfortable talking to strangers. Frankly, I'm not comfortable right now.
Well, we admire your honesty. Did you have any health issues as a child?
I was always a small person and lightweight. Not always, but at that time I was. Later on in life, I put some weight on. I'm trimmed down some now.
What was the first school that you attended?
I think it was Hosmer. I went to the first school.
And where was it?
That was in Detroit. But we moved from there. I went to another school. I went to Keating School for a while. When they put me in the Keating School, I was very light and weight and malnourished, I believe. And they put me in an open-air class. They actually had a room that was set up for people that were light of weight or had health problems, maybe. It was set up with these deck chairs that folded back. The desktops would fold over in front of your lap so you could do your work. But you took a nap in the morning, and you took a nap in the afternoon, and they fed you milk and graham crackers, stuff like that. And I stayed in that until my folks moved from that house over to a new neighborhood, and I had to go to a different school.
Was that in a school that you were?
Yes, it was a school.
Why were you malnourished?
I just was a small person.
Okay, and you were fed.
I was a very small person, very thin, and for my size, light of weight, they just put me in that school. I don't know what the deal was. I really don't.
You were healthy because you ate at home. You had food at home.
Oh, yes. It wasn't that. I mean, you know, that wasn't the problem.
They just felt you were weak.
Well, weak and small. And like I say, they put me in this, and they called it an open-air school. Hmm. And it was just a section of a regular school. When I left there, my folks moved over a few blocks to put us in a different school district. I had to go to a different school. And I was so far behind because I wasn't being educated all this time, but they kept promoting me in grade. I just had a heck of a time catching up with anybody.
What year are we talking about approximately here?
About 1940 to 44, somewhere in there. In 1945, I think we moved to a different address. I had difficulty catching up with the other students because of this lack of training or education to start out with. I didn't get along well in school for a long time.
Okay, let's talk about elementary. Fourth, fifth, and sixth, were you lagging behind then?
Well, up to about the seventh grade. I was lagging all through my education at that point. I just never did catch up with the rest of the people. We had one class, Mrs. Grace.
High school.
In high school, Miss Grace and Miss McFarland. I'll never forget, my older brother went to the same school that I did. I was sitting there in one class, and they were calling roll by the seat. The teacher called out my name. It's the first day of school, and she called, "Robert Borlas, do you have a brother named Edward?" And I says, "Yes, ma'am." If you're like Edward, I'm going to fail you.
Oh.
And that's first day of school. Then I went down to another class, and I had a similar problem. So a couple days later, maybe, I went to school, and I had forgotten a pencil or forgot something. And she says, "I see you're just like your brother. I'm going to fail you."
What was your brother like, Ed?
To me, he was my idol. I mean, this guy was the one that drove me into the Navy, joined the Navy. In the Second World War, he went in the Navy and all that. And he was always somebody I really looked up to. So I quit school.
In what year? What grade?
That was the 11th grade. When I could, I joined the Navy.
So you never went back to school?
Yes, I did. I did go back. I took my GED in the military, and I got my high school diploma in the military. But when I got out, I wanted to go further on with school. When I got out of the Navy, I went back to Knight High School and took classes in math and in English and literature and stuff like that so I could go to college.